through repetition, and your repetition creates your reputation. So
right.
sweeping means that you keep doing the same things over and over again until it becomes subconscious.
What's up, everybody? This is Off the Field with Isaiah Robinson, where we teach the championship mindset to athletes and entrepreneurs, because winning isn't just a goal, it's a lifestyle. We have a very special show for you today. We have the Million Dollar Man, a.k.a. Rick the Wealth Coach. It's a privilege and an honor to introduce Rick Williams. How you doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal, Isaiah. How are you, my brother? It's time for us to take a ride on I-55, baby. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So if you're out in the street, how do you introduce yourself to the people?
I don't know. You know, people ask me, just Rick most of the time. I don't go into all that stuff, you know, about what we do. Unless for some reason or another, they ask me about, you know, like, what do we do for a living or something. Most of the time when I meet people, I inquire of them what they do, you know. I believe that life should be, I believe that the card that we should leave with every day should not be our American Express card. It should be our Discover card. We should be trying to discover things every day. That's my opinion about life, because life is fun when you're discovering interesting, wonderful people, you know, all over the world. You know, to me, that's a day well spent when I can learn something.
So we actually met at Myron Golden's Mastery Class Convention. You had a chance to speak. So we heard some amazing stories about you, but before we get to your story, I want the audience to know you're talking to a million-dollar man right here, $1 million in one day. So what did it feel like when you made your $1 million in one day? What was the emotions or anything that's going through your head at the time?
Well, if you remember when we were talking on stage, we were talking about sweeping and mopping. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how important it is to, you know, when you go into a room and you want to make sure that you really mop up and really mop up effectively, is based on the mopping part is easy as long as you swept really well, meaning that as long as you move the furniture out the way, you know how it is. You go into a room, you move the furniture out the way, you get everything out the corners, and then when it comes time to mop, it's actually fun because you're like, wow, all the hard part's been done, and now I'll just go back and forth over, and now you can get some momentum mopping because you got everything out of the way initially. Well, that's how million-dollar days are made. They're made because you did all the things that led up to that day correctly, and then that day is just the culmination of the manifestation of all the sweeping that you did prior to that day. You know, what I really mean is that in order for people to get to know you online, because we make our money because we're online millionaires, in order for people to get to know you, and for you to be able to execute things like the challenges that we do, which is the most ingenious way to get to know people in a week that's ever been introduced to man, the challenges are, which Myron Golden has done 36 or 37 challenges, and I've done 32 myself. Because when I found out what he was doing, I believe in this, Isaiah, when I meet somebody and what they're doing works, particularly if it's got some Bible training with it too, man, it really gets my attention, because I know the Bible is such a prolific business book. I know that it's the best business book in the world. And that it has, if you can embrace the principles, the last book I just wrote is called Unmovable, Unstoppable, Unshakable Bible Principles That Guarantee You Financial Success. That's my newest book that's been published. And I believe in these principles so much because they're like having the answers to a test before you run into the test. And if you can get the answers to the test before you run into the test, then man, please, that means that that's where the mopping takes place, because all the sweeping is developing the answers to a test before it comes. Let me ask you a question, Isaiah. How many tests would you pass if you had the answers to every test before you took it? Give me a guesstimation. How many do you think you get? 100%, 80%? You got all the answers to the test. How many tests do you think you pass?
I'm doing 100%. All them tests, I'm knocking them out the ballpark.
100. Yeah. You know, people say that all the time. I said, man, let's keep it 100. Mm-hmm. All right. But 100 means that you know the answers before the test even take place. You know. So, when I was, as you know, from my story, I came from having $50, being broke, having $50 in a hotel room in 2009. That's what my life was like. $50 a hotel room, fresh out the penitentiary with no money. And no, not even knowing what I was going to do because I lived in a strange city too. Met a guy who was so nice named Jerome. He just let me live in his house. And when I meet him now, I just take him to the nicest restaurants in the world, and just and break him off a piece of that Kit Kat box. They just take that back to the crib with your brother Jerome.
All
All
right.
right, because you looked your brother up when I was dead, popped. You my man. All right. He's so nice. Even to this day, he'd be like, "This is a fancy place, Brother Rick." I say, "Don't worry about it, Brother Jerome. Pull up to the valet and let them park your car." He said, "Can I pay for something, Brother Rick?" I say, "Your money ain't no good, baby. Your money ain't no good." So the mopping and the sweeping part, though, it comes from I was trying to take a test on this computer exam. This computer, I was, when I was locked up. And I was taking computer classes. I was always taking a class for something because I wanted to keep my mind sharp. I don't want to be over in the complaining section because jail taught me that hell is real because they complain in jail like they complain in hell. So that's what taught me that there is a real hell, and because jail gives good tryouts for hell. So, you want to try out for hell? Just go to jail. All right. They wake up in the morning, ladies say, "Welcome. Wake up, gentlemen. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Go to hell." Somebody would say that. I'm like, "Hey, man. I'm like, hey, watch your mouth, player. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, man. I want to hear that crap. I just woke up. And you ain't at home. So get up. Like she told you. This ain't your crib. All right. This ain't your joint. All right, so get up and do what you told." So I was over there. So I would always leave and go do anything positive because I don't like being around negative people. I just don't like it. I don't like them being around complaining people because they energy vampires and want to suck your blood. Yeah, I'm like, "Who is this Blackula up in this piece? Are you making a new movie, bro? Blackula number three? What's up with them fangs coming out your mouth?" I'm like, "Man, I can't stand being around. I love people like you, with good attitudes. Good energy, great, appreciative, thinking men, thinking women, innovators, creators. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ain't no limits. No limits, to what we can do together. I love being around people like you. I love the energy I'm feeling right now while we speaking, my brother." So we was in so I'm in the class taking these and this guy gave us a test. And I can't, it's impossible to pass the test because we never went over the stuff. Is that evil or is that evil? He gave us a test, an exam that we ain't never had no questions on. Just an anal dude. Are you hearing me? And just mean spirited because people take jobs in places where they think they're better than other people, quite often just to rub it in people's faces. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we're supposed to be financially free, where we don't have to take no crap off nobody and laugh while we ain't tickled and scratch. Well, we ain't itching. You feel me? So I know. So anyway, I ain't no way in the world I can pass this test. So I get back into my barracks and I started telling people, I'm like, "That dude just gave us a test that's impossible to pass." So one of my friends said, "I got the answers to that test, Rick." I say, "What?" He said, "I got the answers to that test." I said, "You took it already?" He said, "Yeah, not only did I take it, I ain't only got the questions, I got the answers." I was like, "Shut the front door." I was like, "Right on." I say, "Well, drop it like it's easy." Okay, like it's hot, like it's easy. I was like, "Is it?" So Isaiah, he gave me the answer to the test. I studied every answer. I memorized every answer to the test. Went back in. The guy gives us a paper. He's looking at us with that little chess cat grin on his face, like, "You dummies! I'm going to show you how stupid you are today." So I took the paper and I was faking it, like it was going to be tough, right? So I sat down, I'm over here scratching my head. I'm through in 6 minutes, right? I'm acting like I'm over here scratching my head, like trying to play it off, right? Paper already filled out. So when we get through, I walk up to him, I have a paper. He's like, "Hey, pretty tough test there, huh, buddy?" I'm like, "Oh man, I went to Ray, I went like baby, I went like Jamie Foxx on Ray." I was like, nah, you know, I hate to brag on my skills, you know, I make it do what it do, baby. Had 104 on the test. I didn't even think like I got a wrong answer. I didn't even get one wrong on purpose. Why? So I could rub it in his face the way he's trying to rub it in mine. And Isaiah, the Bible is such a great book because it has all the answers to every test before we even take the test. Made $1 million because I did what? I took one of the principles from the Bible, and that principle says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I said, okay, if I want to make $1 million in a day, then I'm going to have put enough good stuff out for people where they'd be so endeared to the great information until they show up at my challenges. And because we sell premium value offers, you know, some offers as much as $150,000, which are well worth it because of what the people get. And so you say, what do you sell for $150,000, Rick? Well, people, they join our inner circle that we have, and then we provide for them private trust. And when you put money inside of the trust, the bank actually gives you back your bank deposits and reduce your taxable income every year too. So they ain't doing nothing but tipping me because they get back way more than what they put in. And I train them all year too. So they happy to spend the money, happy, real happy to spend it. So imagine how many people do you need at $100,000 to make $1 million? 10 people, right?
Ten,
Right. So if 10 people signed up in one day, you made $1 million in one day. So go ahead on with your question. Let's answer that question now.
yeah. I say you put us all over the game right
Yes,
there.
sir.
$1 million worth of game. So I just want to break down everything you just said because I'm over here, I'm learning, right? I'm intrigued myself. And I had a whole list of questions, but I'm like, man, forget those questions. I'm gonna ask. So when you was locked up, right, and you got out, I wanted you just know more about your story. Like, what was your mindset? And can you go deeper into just the things you learned and the things this made you who you are today?
Somebody else asked me something, you know, just about life. And the beautiful thing about life is that even though I didn't know anybody in Indiana, I didn't know anybody in Indiana when I got to Indiana. That's where I live at. And I don't know anybody there because I'm from Chicago. So I was naive. I'm thinking they're going to let me go back home. They said, man, you got to stay here for 2.5 years. I'm like, what? I don't know nobody in Indiana. And then God was like, yeah, don't worry about that, Ricky, because I know everybody in Indiana. He said it like that too. He had that cold-blooded, deep voice when he was talking to me. He sounded like James Earl Jones. You know, I love God. I love God. It's so personal with God. You know, I'm sitting there like, hey, Lord, I don't know nobody. He's like, don't worry about it, Rick. I was like, well, was like, Mufasa? He was like, well, yeah, I'm colder than Mufasa. So no matter, you see, Isaiah, no matter where we go, we're gonna be there. You know? So people be acting like where they are matters. I'm like, no, where you are don't matter. It's who you are that matters. You know, because if you know who you are and you know whose you are, then no matter where you are, then the place is blessed because you showed up. Hear me? Because that's how I go. You take Jacob. So I got a play that we created called The Hustler. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. So I play Jacob in a play. We've done it 25 times. What I love about Jacob in the Bible is that once he was blessed, no matter where he went, the whole place was blessed. You know, he went to his uncle's farm, and his uncle's farm blew up. Blew up. I mean, the dude went from having a regular little farm to having a Fortune 500 company. Why? Because he had that if factor on him. What is if? If is instant favor. That's what happened when you got God walking around with you like James Earl Jones. Everywhere you go, you got instant favor. That's how I ended up meeting a man who didn't even know me, with no place apparently to live. We had one conversation in Burger King and became such close friends until the man let me live in his house and would not take a penny for would not take a penny for rent while I went to school and got a business degree. He said, brother, you're a wonderful person, Rick. He said, I love being around you. I said, I love being around you, bro. He's like, man, I was paying my rent before I met you. He says, just keep that beautiful spirit. Go to school, man, and make it rain like a hurricane. I said, you ain't got to tell me twice, bro. Let's go.
Very.
So that's how it started. Gratitude, though. When you have gratitude, man, it opened up so many doors for you. People love to be around grateful people, but people hate being around complainers. And I believe that's been the number one thing that made the difference in all my days, not just the immediate days of trying to figure out, life without no money and nowhere to live, So then hopefully that answered your question. That helped.
Definitely, definitely. And you mentioned that you was in the plays, so I know you and your wife, you actually do plays for the kids in the city, teaching them about family. So can you expound more what about those plays and what you do it for?
And so when you think about the story of Jacob and Esau, you think about the fact that Esau came in a crib one day, and first of all our plays are urban. It's called Urban Bible Theater. So it's not like thou and me and everybody walking around with sandals on, you dig, and all that. It's like me and you talking to each other right now. So we make the story, we make the plot like it happened today, but it still has the outline of the Bible story. So it's a lot of singing in it, dancing in it. It's a lot of fun, but clean fun where you can bring your mama, your grandmama, and your toddler, and everybody sitting out there laughing and having a good time because it's funny, but it ain't foolishness because God got a good sense of humor, God, Jesus. Everybody look at Jesus. They think he walked around with tight butt cheeks. Jesus didn't get around. Jesus didn't get out like that. All right? Jesus was a pleasant person. Okay, he was fun to be around. He even told his boys one time. He said, "Man, he say in the world you're gonna have some tribulation. He say, but be a good cheer, because I didn't overcome the world. Be a good cheer literally means have a good laugh. All right. So people be all religious. So when they think about Jesus, they think if he walked in a room right now, everybody'd be like." But if Jesus walked in the room right now, he'd be high-fiving everybody. What if Isaiah? Oh, what's up? Brother Rick, what's happening? The cold-blooded podcast, you got to Isaiah. You're doing it like I told you to do it. If he walked into the room, he wouldn't walk in the room all stiff and stuff like that. That's not even his character. But if you don't really read the Bible and read the stories, you don't really understand the character of God. You really think he's some type of distant person just waiting to shoot you in the head, like, just zap you with the zap gun, waiting on you to do wrong. You get the wrong impression. Man, it's not who God is, even with, deal with folk. But that's not who he is. His attitude is that I'm in your corner. I know my thoughts for you. I know my plans towards you, plans to do you good and not evil, to give you an expected end. That's the God of heaven and earth and his son, Jesus Christ. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that's his attitude towards people. So when we do the play, because Esau wanted to kill his brother, Jacob, we teach these young dudes in the hood that you're going to be mad at your brother, but you got to learn how to forgive your brother, just like in his story. Okay. So I have 12 of them. They play my sons. So we practice for 3 months every time we do a show. So they're just around good influence for 3 months so they can get an idea about what's happening. And then we find people who've been part of violent crimes and we just donate money to them. Like, we did one show and this young lady named DeAndre Yates, I heard her talking at this community center about what happened to her son. And she said that she had a son named Andre, and Andre was like 13 years old. He's at a house party. He did. So he had a house party in Indianapolis, Indiana. And some dude got a beef with another dude. So you know how these little punks are. They don't fight. You remember the movie Friday? He's like me. He said, create, y'all some little sissies, man. Y'all don't fight no more.
Y'all use these no more.
don't use these no more. So this little dude got an attitude. He come back and what? Spray up the house. Got a gun up in his waist. Please don't shoot up the place. He come back with a gun up in his waist and shot up the place. And shot little Andre ain't got nothing to do with nothing. He just tried. He over here playing another slow jam. This time they can sleep on a slow jam. He over here just dancing. He did trying to, yeah, he just trying to get a slow dance on, And this dude come in, shoot the joint up, and shoot DeAndre in the head. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It messed DeAndre up so bad. It took eight surgeries to his skull back together. And then they had to take him to a place where every day for years Even I need to call DeAndre and see how she's doing, by the way. I need to check on her. I'm gonna do that today since we're having this meeting. Thank you so much for making me think about this. But when I heard a story, I was like, oh man. And I say DeAndre, he got to they had to put a diaper on this brother, you know, because now he don't have his motor skills and he had to be in a 24-hour care unit. They took him to a Southern Illinois, all because some little punk with a pistol don't know how to use these and get upset like a little girl about the smallest things. So that's what I teach young brothers. I'm like, stop being a little punk. Stop acting like the world revolve around you because it don't. Stop acting like such a little sissy. Stop getting an attitude so fast when something happened to you. You have the spirit of a female inside a male body. You're a dangerous person, right? Because we're men. We used to sit around and talk about each other's mama all night long, and everybody just laughed. Now you hear me? Now you hear a little boy talking about, oh, my mama. I'm like, boy, you would have never lasted in our era. You hear me? You would have jumped out a window someplace to a little sensitive. Little sensitive, but that's why people can't make no money. People can't make money because they get upset too fast. They get offended by stuff. The Bible says, great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right? There's a word called inviolable. Inviolable. All right? INVIOOABLE. Inviolable. You probably never heard this word before. It's not used often. It means unoffendable. The inability to be offended. Do you know how much money you can make, how much success a person could have if they were unoffendable, meaning that I'm gonna get down no matter what you got to say. Because you can't break me because you ain't hit me. All right. So you can bark like a dog, huff, huff, try to blow this window down, drop down, get your eagle on, you dig, quack like a duck, whatever you want to do. I am totally oblivious to that stuff. Why? Because we're on a mission around here, baby. And when you're on a mission, you are unoffendable. Jesus Christ was unoffendable. So no matter what nobody did, he just kept loving people, serving people, and helping all the way till he left the face of this earth. Because your helping and your service ain't got nothing to do on the reception of it from people. It's got everything to do with the privilege of being able to do it. That's why we do these plays. And so we did a play that particular year. We just donated the money to the offering every day and just gave it to DeAndre. I told her, hey, anything we do to make your life better, baby, because we just appreciate you being a soldier and champion, because she champions the cause of you know, getting gun violence down. She was, even when Barack Obama signed that law about the removing of all those heavy artillery guns, she was standing right next to him when it happened. And she's from Indianapolis, Indiana, and she's a good friend of mine. Hopefully that answers your question.
Definitely, definitely. And when you just look at it as business too, your business doesn't happen with feelings, right? So a lot of times when people get in their feelings with their business, it doesn't let you grow because you feel like it's a certain way, but it really should be a different way because business don't have any feelings as well.
Yeah, well, you know, we was talking about sweeping and mopping, right? So it's impossible to sweep. What's sweeping? You put out a video, you put out a book, you send out a blog, you send out a tweet, you create a podcast like yourself, you know? And when you do things, you're doing it for the sake of just becoming better at what you did, not for the immediate result that took place because it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter because you can't get good at anything that's not repetitive. When I was in college, when I was in school, I did the rule that I used was I always read three chapters ahead before we did any work. And the reason I did that, Isaiah, was because by the time I got to class, I had already done the work. So when the teacher started talking, the teacher was talking to me about what I already did, because if I was going to have a conversation with him, then I owed it to him to be intelligent enough to be able to add to the conversation and not detract from it. And I respect the teacher's time because I respect everybody's time. Plus, if you already know what the subject matter is going to be, you can guard your brain with reinforcements. Reinforcements mean that you really learn something the second, third, fourth, and fifth time that that you are exposed to it. You really learn it through repetition, and your repetition creates your reputation. So sweeping means that you keep doing the same things over and over again until it becomes subconscious and like unconscious. For example, when I wake up in the morning and I'm taking a shower, I start reciting the book of Hebrews by heart out loud. So I get in the shower and I say, God, For in sundry times and divers manners speaking time past to the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, and I quote the whole first 12 chapters by heart. Just while I'm just taking a shower, it took me 2 years or something to do it, but 2 years was going to go by anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? So why not have something? So imagine talking to a human after you've gone through that for 20 minutes while you get dressed, and then you turn on your phone and your first email says, hey, so you just got $1 million deducted out your account. You need to go do something about this, or this just happened. Something happened that you weren't necessarily expecting. It don't even mean nothing.
Right.
Because you are what? Unoffendable.
Mm.
But that takes work to become unoffendable, because that has to be what you're aiming at. And then you can make any amount of money, because you don't never quit. Because the reason people ain't got no money, because they start and stop. They're just not very good. If you're not very good, then there's no room in the marketplace for you. Because a man's gift will do what? Make room. It'll make room for you. Yeah.
Mm.
It just kicks down the doors. Are you hearing me? So you keep being good. Keep doing your podcast like you're doing. And just get better and better and better. And then a day will come when people are long to get with you and come and holler at you, because you've done it so frequently, so much, until you know you'd be the male version of Oprah up in this piece.
So I know that you're always singing, right? So what's that about? Tell me why you always singing in your videos, and you have
joy,
great, by the way, too.
Joy. God's great joy. Joy. Down in my soul. Sweet, beautiful, soul saving joy. Oh, joy. Man. How in the world can you walk around with all this joy? Just don't let it out, brother Isaiah. I'm saying, joy, man, joy, just a blessing to be able to get up in the morning. Ain't it a blessing, bro?
Definitely a blessing.
Just be able to get up, move around, man. Mm. Absolutely.
So I know you teach your business based off the Bible principles as well. So what is your favorite Bible verse and why?
Boy, you going deep, ain't you, Isaiah? Man, you got to warn somebody before you become a. You gonna take me to the smothers board and then just tell me to pick one meal?
Uh-huh.
Come on, player. Come on now. You're playing dirty pool now. Think about it. I really love the idea that God says, "Hey, He says, just like the rain come down from heaven, and just like the dew comes from down to heaven and waters the ground, and does what it went down and it do." God said, so shall my word, which I speak out of my mouth, do what I said it's going to do, and it shall not return unto me void. To me, that's the most incredible principle of the Bible. And the reason is because God doesn't speak from time. God speaks from eternity. God is not in time. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. All right. He's today. He's God yesterday, today, and forever. He's from everlasting to everlasting. So that's what that motivates me so much to do things ahead of time, because when God say something, it ain't because he's saying it now. He's seeing, you know, maybe if he get it done. He's telling us what he already did, because he speaks from eternity. And he's the only being that you can trust like that. Well, when he says something, it's already been done. So it's no chance of it not being done, because it's already done. It's just like, say you tell your child, hey, you know, you've been good all week. In the morning, go check up under your, don't check right now, but in the morning, go check up under your pillow, all right? And you're going to be blessed. Why? Because you already put a dollar up under their pillow. So you can tell them what's going to happen, because it already happened. It's just going to happen for them, but it's already happened in real time. That's what I love about God. And that way you can go ahead on with your activity. Whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it without hesitation, without worrying, without any trepidation whatsoever, because it's already been done. And then you can get a lot more done, because you are pursuing what's already done. That way you can be amazingly productive and not just, you know, active, where you're not really producing stuff because you're doing things that ain't gonna never come to pass. But if it's what God said, it's already come to pass. So you gotta remember that. When your biggest problem, Isaiah, my biggest problem is God have to back up to deal with it. That's how small it is. He got a moonwalk to get to our problem.
Right. You so far past
Yes, sir. That makes sense.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now we get to the trivia part of the interview. So we got some Bible trivia for you because I know that you do, like I said, your principles come from the Bible. So I got some Bible trivia for you.
Right, drop it like it's his.
Through what did God speak to Moses in the desert? A burning bush, B a cattle, or C a farmer?
Oh man, you're gonna give me multiple choice tonight. You know. Now you. If somebody miss a multiple choice test, you know they're a heathen with a capital H.
Oh,
I'm gonna take the bush for 500, bro.
man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know if I want to give you multiple choice now.
No, hey, let's keep cheating. I love them tests that you can pass.
That.
Beautiful.
What did Moses say God commanded the Pharaoh to do? A, leave my town. B, let his people go. Or C, come home.
Oh man, let me see. If Moses was a brother, he would have said, "Leave my town." But he said, "Let my people go. These are my people." Yeah. He said, "Let my people. Let my people." And if he was country from down south, he would say, "Peoples. Let my peoples go." With
Right. What was the final plague that convinced Pharaoh to let his slaves go?
Final plague. All right, let me see. I believe Moses said, told everybody in Goshen. All right, that's where you wish you was living. You wish you was living in Goshen during that time. All right, the place that they was, place that they had all the Hebrews, you know, down in there, Goshen. That's a project, right? They got all the Hebrews down the projects, you did. But you wish you was in the projects that night, all right? Because it wasn't good in the suburbs that night. All right, why? Because at midnight, you can hear a cry all over the land. People was dropping dead like flies. You hear me? And so that's the final plague. He said, "Don't worry, Mo." He said, "Mo." He said, "When they drop dead up in there, not only gonna let you go, they gonna insist you leave." Hey, to the man.
Nate to the
Hey, to the man. Hey, to
Who baptized Jesus?
the man. All right. Oh, I see how he is. Y'all listen out there in the in Isaiah world. You see how Isaiah? He just gonna play. He just gonna do Brother Rick like that. No more multiple choice. Put your big boy pants on. All right. So, I believe it was you know, Jesus. Jesus had all his kinfolk looking crazy. You know, some of his people didn't pay no attention to him, but his cousin did. All right, so it was his cousin John. He's 6 months older than Jesus, but he said, "I got to decrease so he can increase, because before I was, he is, because he came before me." Woo! Is that boy preaching? He said, "My man, 6 months younger than me, but he came before me." Well, he was putting some fat on their head. I know they was wondering, "Man, what kind of preachers, what kind of math you doing, bro?" He said, "Well, you know, get your heart right, you understand." All right. So it was his main man, his cousin John, John the Baptist. Jesus said, "There wasn't a better prophet ever walked the face of the earth. John the Baptist, my man."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Last one. Name the place where Jesus walked on water.
Oh man, that's a good question. I really don't know if I don't know if that was the Sea of Tiberias. All I know is he came walking on the water. I don't know. You might have got me. Isaiah, I can't believe you slid one hand on your brother, man. You know, you're a cold host. I think you're the first person ever. I think you're the first person ever made me have to throw in the towel or something, man. All I know is all I know. All I knows is I don't know if it was the Sea of Tiberias. I
Mm-hmm.
don't know if it was the Sea of Galilee. And my honest answer to that is, I'm not sure, but educate me, bro, because I ain't gonna never miss that one again. Drop it like it's hot.
The Sea of Galilee. You
Oh,
said
Sea of Galilee. All right. I
it
wasn't sure. I wasn't
earlier.
sure. All right, that's awesome, man. Ain't that amazing how he walked on? You know, people out of Isaiah, people who take you for granted. This is what I want you to understand as you go into the rest of your career. The people who know you most typically are going to take you for granted. But don't worry about that, because if they did it to Jesus Christ, I mean, come on, his own people didn't even believe who he was. They like, man, Jesus walked on water. He's like, what? They say, did he moonwalk? If he ain't moonwalk, he did. It wasn't legit. All right. They say, man, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. How many days was he dead? He was dead 4 days, man. 4 days? Oh man, if he had been dead 5 days, he'd never pulled that off. So some people are just looking for a reason not to believe you, and we should. That's why I love the Bible, because it'll make you such a practical person. You know, you'd be like, why should I waste a whole lot of time trying to impress them when I could be over here talking to somebody else who really is interested in what I'm talking about in life and business and everything? Let me put it this way. The safest place in the world for a mouse when they wake up in the morning is around a lion. And let me explain what I mean. When a lion wakes up in the morning, he's like, ah! And you got a little bitty mouse just standing there like, what's up? He'd be like, what's up with you, little fella? I don't know, man. You know, what's up with you? And then, so and when we was little, when Michael Jackson was a little boy, he had a cut called Ben. It was about a mouse. It says, Ben, you're always running here and there. You feel you're not wanted anywhere. Friends don't see it like I do. I wish they would try to. I'm sure they'd think again if they had a friend like Ben. So little Ben, he wake up in the morning looking at Mufasa like, what's that? Mufasa looking at him like, being like, you ain't gonna eat me? Mufasa like, man, leave me alone. I'm trying to get some sleep. So why does Mufasa ignore Ben? Because a lion knows that if he eats a mouse, he's still gonna die of malnutrition, because he can't get filled up off of a mouse. So what he does is that he says, I'm not going to chase mice like little Ben over here, because I don't need no friend like Ben. What I'm going to do is go back to sleep, get my rest, save my energy. So when I get up, I can go get me some ants. Because if I chase this little mouse around, if I catch him, I'm going to be so tired that by the time I get through, the antelope will come walking by, all that delicious, juicy antelope I could be having for lunch. And a lion understands that they have to hunt for their prey. So what we teach people, this is what we teach people. We teach people posterity. Okay? That's why you see this. It's a word that you very seldom hear, because you hear people always talking about prosperity, but you don't hear people talking about posterity. There's a distinct difference. The difference between posterity and prosperity is that prosperity means you're concerned about you. See, if the lion was concerned about him, he would chase a little mouse around. But the lion is concerned about, they always go and they go to hunt for their entire pride. So they're concerned about their whole family. Posterity means that when you bust a move based on the idea that this money ain't for me. This money is for the kids and the grandkids, the great grandkids, and the unborn kids. And when we take that attitude towards our money and towards our success, then God always gives us excess, because success is excess. If there is no excess, there is no success. Because God is like, if all you're concerned about is you're not considered a good man in God's eyes, because you have to leave inheritance to your children's children. According to Proverbs 13 and 22, you have to leave inheritance. Is it 22 or 42? But you got to leave inheritance to your children's children. And once you get that mindset, that's when the mind blossoms and opens up to amazing ideas, innovations, because God is like, I love your generous heart. I love the way you think like I think. You think like a lion, and you ain't running around chasing mice. You're not trying to get the approval of little small folk. and you sticking to your guns. So as you go, as you continue with your life, son, you continue going after the big fish because you are a king, just like the Lion's King, and you are meant to eat from the fat of the land and to have excess with everything that you do, abundance, largeness in everything that you do. You have a great spirit, and I speak over your life. I speak over your life, the spirit of posterity to generations uncounted and unknown. I speak that blessing over your life, and it cannot be reversed. In Jesus' name, brother.
In Jesus' name, yes, sir, sir. So we just got a little piece of Rich the Wealth Coach is all about. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you see when you're talking to people and you're teaching them and educating on things like this?
The biggest challenge for a person is to change their aim. Because the problem with people is not that people aim real high and miss. The problem with people is that people aim real low and hit. That's the biggest problem with people. And it's because of a person's expectation is low, because the average mindset is that if I aim low and I don't make it, then I won't be disappointed. But it's not a biblical mindset. It ain't God's mindset, because God's mindset is no. I expect you to aim high. And then if you don't make it, I expect you to adjust so that you can make it to the heights that I got for you. I don't want you to be happy with a low standard in life. I want you to be happy with the high standard in life, because the Bible says a highway shall be there and a way to get on the highway. It said, and though a fool or he want or a wayfaring man, they want error therein. In other words, because everything that they're doing, they shooting at a high aim. And it's okay to shoot at something high and come up a little short, but it's not okay to shoot at something little and come up a little short, because now you underground. So we not, that's not us. We a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, and we got a light. All right. And the song for it said, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yeah. You say, I ain't gonna hide it up under no bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. The only way that you can shine a light underground is that you gotta be a coal miner. That's the biggest challenge. Aim high. Yes, sir.
So when you see athletes who have millions of dollars, like Antonio Brown, he's just going bankrupt. What do you think if their plan should be before even hitting bankruptcy? What do you think they should put in place?
They should learn how to get the answers to the test. So that means that they need to. When I first started doing these trusts, my very first book that I wrote is called Controlled Everything But Don't Own Nothing. So I was doing these real estate deals, and I was like, man, every time I do a deal, my stepsister want to come over to the closing. You know, my stepsister name is Iris, the I to RNS. I'm like, you're an ugly stepsister too. Showing all up in my clothes, and I'm like, what's going on, girl? How you doing? I'm doing good. I'm like, what the heck? What's your name? My name is Iris. I'm like, would you please put some Vaseline on them lips? What you trying to say? I'm trying to say, I did all this work. How dare you come over here talking about give you third, a fourth, a third, almost half of every deal? You ain't did no work. I mean, who are you? All right. I mean, like, where you come from? So I started investigating the IRS. Okay. See, when you want to be rich, you investigate people who call themselves investigating you. All right. Because you're the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, above and not beneath. You don't have the spirit of fear, but of love, courage, and of a sound mind. That means that what? That means that we investigate people and find out what they own. So I investigated the IRS, and I found out a few things. And you want me, can I tell you a few things I found out?
Definitely, definitely.
All right. So I found out a few things. First thing I found out is that they ain't even part of the government.
Oh, really?
No, everybody think the IRS is part of the government. The IRS got an EIN just like any other country. Then I found out the IRS, it ain't even in the United States. It's headquartered in Puerto Rico.
What?
Oh, yeah. Then I found out that they got a company that owned them called Northern Trust. Then I found out about Northern Trust owns the IRS. Then I found out that they're owned by the Queen of England and they're run by the Vatican. So the money that people spend on federal income taxes, it goes to the Queen of England and the Vatican, and they got nothing to do with America. So when I found that out, I'm like, okay, so they over here squeezing us like oranges. So that must mean that there are tax codes that make them pay us too, if there are tax codes that make them charge us. So let me find out, how do we get paid by the IRS as opposed to getting charged by the IRS? I'm like, is that even possible? So I found out some codes. Now, you know what a code means? A code means a secret way of saying things so that the public can't understand what you're talking about. That's why it's called a code, right? If you want to break into a vault, you need to know the what? The code, all right? So why in the world would you have tax laws that require a code for somebody to understand? All right, it's because they want to provide laws that you don't understand. And when you can't, it's just like, how long would a person mess around trying to figure out a Rubik's Cube? You only got so many hours to your day. So you can't be on a Rubik's Cube for 17 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to go to work and eat and do all of that. So they know that you don't have the time or the inclination for the average person to study the code. So you just accept the code that they gave you. And that way you are paid more than you're supposed to pay, ridiculous amounts more than what you're supposed to pay. And if you understood the code, you could reduce your taxes and in some cases eliminate them altogether. And in some cases, reduce them, eliminate them, and get money back. Okay? All of that's possible if you understand the codes. But most people don't even look at the code, because in the IRS, they just like the banks. The IRS and the banks have two things in common. They assume that you won't rebut the assumption. Rebutting the assumption means that you say, okay, you got some money of mine that belonged to me. I'm going to figure out how to get it. They assume that you're not going to rebut the assumption. Just like the bank. The bank has what you call FDIC insurance, and I get back to the IRS in a second. The bank has FDIC insurance, supposed to insure you for $250,000, up to $250,000 per account, correct? Okay, so that's what FDIC insurance is. So what does that mean? That means that if you got $250,000 in the bank, if the bank go bankrupt, they got to give you at least 250, right? So what would cause the bank to go bankrupt? Everybody come and get their money, right? But what you'll find out in real life is that they only got about 77 cent out of every $10 really in an account that they can afford to pay somebody. In other words, they ain't even got your money, so it's some fake insurance. But why do people think that they can get their money? Because they have you up under the, they assume everybody ain't going to come and take their money all out at the same time. So the only way that you can be in a banking system that you can't get your fair share of the money is because you allow them, you don't rebut the assumption. If we all just went tomorrow and said, I'm all going to get our money out the bank, it would be a straight up, it would be chaos because they don't have the money. All right. I go to the bank to get 5, 10,000 at a time just to pass it out, because I was homeless when I got out to join. So I go to the bank just to get it, just to pass it out. I was in there one day. I said, give me $10,000 in cash. It was like, we can give you 5,000. I said, no, maybe I need an interpreter around here. I said, I'm supposed to be funny or something like that. I'm like, all right, stop with all the joking. Stop with the jokey jokes. Stop with the jokey jokes. All right, come on. I said, I want $10,000. All right. I'm like J.G. Wentworth. I want my money and I want it now.
Right now.
She said, we don't have it, sir. I'm like, howdy, you a bank?
Right.
What you mean you ain't got no butt? That's like going to Popeyes and they ain't got no chicken.
Right.
Because I've been in the hood and that happened. I'm like, can I get six chicken wings, please? We out of chicken wings, bro. I'm like, what?
What does y'all get? Fry?
Out of chicken wings? Sell chicken for a living. Imagine going to McDonald's and talking about, we ain't got no more Big Macs. We out of Big Macs. I'm like, what kind of country mess? I said, only in the hood. Only in the hood. Only in the hood, I said. So going back to IRS. So I found out these things about them. And the one thing that they assume is that you're not going to study the law. So they actually pay what's called tax credits when you open up a trust account that has a private EIN number and you deposit money into the bank. You can actually get your bank deposits back. So if you saw me show you a $1 million check, which you saw of mine, that I texted you that just came in the mail a little while ago. That's our bank deposits being mailed back. That's what came back to us from making deposits into a tax-free trust, private trust that requires that you get your bank deposits back. And it came from the Department of Treasury, not the IRS. Did you see that?
I was about to say
Okay.
it was a different it was a different check I haven't seen before. That's a
Right, because you never inc you don't know the law. So that's why I have a challenge. Mine, and I guess a good time to plug the challenge. FinancialIQChallenge.com. MyFinancialIQChallenge.com. Come, son, and learn what's going on. And tell all your friends to come too. And when you decide to sign up, go down to the bottom and click the, affiliate thing. So when you invite your friends, you get half the money, so you don't have to pay nothing. Just invite two of your friends to come for free. Right? Because we'll give you the money. So basically, we'll give you money back. So imagine being with me all week long as I break down who the IRS is, as I break down how the banking system works, as I break down why we get such big, fat, juicy, delicious, gigantic tax refunds back, and how any of us can do it, just like me from the hood, from being homeless. $50 having no, it ain't got nothing to do with no silver spoon. Ain't got nothing to do. I guess, sir, I was born with a plastic spoon, not no silver spoon. So that's just part of what we do. And that's part of how we make our money. That's just a little tidbit of it. And for the people that come to the challenge, that's myfinancialiqchallenge.com. And as we speak here, we have a class coming up very next Monday as we speak. I don't know when they're going to release your podcast, but we have them once a month, and they're typically the first week of the month. So when it makes sense for your audience to come, we're here to serve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It'll be down in the link below. So we're gonna put it down in the link below so it can be easy access for everybody. So what's the biggest mistake you see people do with their credit?
The biggest mistake I see people do with their credit is that they don't use it to make money. That's the biggest. I have a credit academy, by the way, and my credit score used to be 500. And I did a few things. So I have a credit academy that can get anything that, I mean, anything negative off of your credit score, off your credit report. We just got through getting one of my friends. She had a bankruptcy. She went from, I don't know where she was. She was in some low 500 or 600s. Now she over seven something. I think she up to around 770, 780, something like that. And there's a couple of things that you can academy. And we just take your negative stuff off and then show you how to get trade lines that work. I'm gonna ask you a question first, but let me just explain a little bit about how my credit score went up so high. So one thing I did, and anybody can do this, one thing I did was I went to rentreporters.com because I was paying rent on a house that me and Shantae had renovated that was in her company's name. So I was paying a note for the house every month. So that made Shantae the landlord because it's in a company's name. So that made me the tenant on the house, which meant that I was paying rent. So which I turned into a mortgage afterwards. But at that time I was paying rent. Do you know that rentreporters.com only costs like $20? Real cheap. Only costs like $20. They will call your landlord and say, "Hey, did Isaiah pay us rent?" They say, "Yes." They reported to all three credit bureaus. My score went up about 100 points in about 3 months. Yeah, I'm talking about. I did that. I did some credit cards that were like, stuff where it was like secured credit cards, and like you buy some jewelry or something from a jewelry store. It costs $150. Some little generic, ring. And who cares? Because they reported the payments to the credit bureaus. And it made the score rocket, rocket. Man, I had never seen, I couldn't remember the last time my score was seven something. Boy, as soon as it came across the screen one day, and I ain't lying, some John Shaft music came on right behind it. Shit. Was like, do-do-do, 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 do-do-do. I actually went and my wife bought me a John Shaft leather coat, man. You ought to see it. Man, it's fresh, baby. I wear it around, and every time I see it, I start thinking I want to put the 700 club on it. Change your whole life. Change your whole life. Change your whole. Everybody trying to come at me now. Everybody want American Express. How you doing, Mr. Williams? I'm like, I know I am Mr. Williams now. Love it when you call me Big Bob. So that's one thing. That's one thing. And you could actually report us too. if they do the same thing for your lights and your gas, because I believe they're doing that now. Okay. Another company is Boost, Experian Boost. You can sign up with them, and they'll definitely do your lights and your gas. So you pay your light bill, your gas bill, they turn it, they report it to all three credit bureaus. Score be going. He got me riding in a rocket, and baby, a star. Another half a mile from heaven, and you drop me back down to this cold, cold world. Well, they have you doing some Stevie Wonder up in this piece. So that's a Boost experience. So those are two things that can really, really, really shoot your credit. But to answer your question, the biggest problem with people is people who do have good credit and don't leverage it to get rich. That's the biggest problem I find with people. And they don't understand that God created debt to help make us rich. They don't realize it. And I can prove it to you. Can I prove it to you?
You prove it to me for sure.
Okay. So if you go to the book of Second Kings, you have a lady who was broke, and she was talking to Elisha, and she said, "The state coming to get my kids. DCFS coming to get my kids." Because in the Bible days, if you didn't pay your debts, your kids had to come pay the debt. If you're back in the Bible days, in fact, that happened way up until the time that my mother was a little girl, because they would use your family members for labor if another family member didn't finish their sharecropping and stuff like that. If somebody, like, because her husband died in the Bible. So this happened back then, and it is happening. So the reason I know this is really true that they're coming get you is because my mother, when she was 5 years old, she was on a farm in Mississippi on a plantation. My mother just passed away 2 years ago. So she was born in 1932. So thank you, I appreciate it. We hung out like, we was, man, best of friends. All right, so she's the reason I got so much power, because she was a powerful woman. So when he was little, her mother was her grandmother was working on this farm and got sick. So my grandmother came to work in her mother's stead. My grandmother's name is Lonnie. Okay. So she worked for her mother and her mother's stead on the farm. So she was finished with the work and trying to leave. But the people who owned the plantation didn't want her to leave. So every time my father sent some money, they would intercept the money and act like it wasn't. But the train had to leave. They would intercept the money and act like that they hadn't received it. So my grandmother Lottie, who didn't have nothing but a, seventh grade education, perhaps if she went that far, was extremely smart, had a lot of mother wit, and she had a lot of faith too. So she walked 10 miles down to a neighbor's house and asked them, said, "Listen, can you get? I'm gonna give you a letter. I'd like you to send it to my husband and have him to send his money back to you all. And then we're gonna walk over here when we're gonna escape basically off of this plantation and come over here and get this money so we can get up out of, us old country, Ku Klux Klan, Mississippi." All right. So it's 1932. It's dangerous, dangerous, extremely dangerous. You can get hung, strung up, people just kill you, plant you in their backyard. No court case, no nothing, just another dead Negro. It was dangerous, extremely dangerous. So my mother said they got up in the middle of the night. They got word that the money had came in. They got up in the middle of the night, pitch black outside. They walking through the swamps. They could have got bit by alligators. All kind of crazy stuff could have happened. Mama said the moon was shining so bright that you could read a newspaper. The only light they had was the moon. They walked through them swamps in the pitch black dark and made it 10 miles down to the neighbor's house and was able to get that money. And they made it over to Bessemer, Alabama, where my mother grew up at, with my father. My grandfather Luther was able to get over there. What's my point? My point is that I totally understand what was going on with this widow in the Bible and how that her husband had died and they was coming to get her kids, because that's the way they did things back in that day. So Elisha told her, he said, "What you got in the crib?" She said, "I ain't got nothing but a pot of oil." He said, "Good." He said, "Go borrow all the pots you can. Bring your sons back in the house. Go into business. Sell all that oil, because it's gonna be so much oil until you ain't gonna never run out of no oil." He said, "Go in there, get rich, and then live off the rest of that money." And that's what she did. He said, "You ain't got no money, but you got an 800 credit score." He said, "So go borrow all the pots you can." She couldn't have borrowed the pot from nobody if her credit wasn't no good. So you got people right now who are in dire straits with 800 credit scores and broke for no reason, because they won't use it to go into business. They think that borrowing money is some type of tragedy, a borrow money. But God, if you go just walk out your house and every business that you see up and down the street is all built off borrowed money. Because rich people don't call borrowing money. They call it raising capital. Okay, so the biggest problem I've seen in the credit industry is that people will not raise capital with their credit. So they keep working for people and wasting a whole lot of time when they could have raised enough cap. Say you raise enough capital to, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, whatever, and you raise this capital with your good credit score. And then you hire some people to do some work. And then y'all turn around and double and triple the money. So you pay the money back with the profits. And now you got all your time because you ain't wasting all your time working for somebody else. And that's the way entrepreneurs think. We concerned about time way more than we concerned about money. When I wake up and I look at time, and I'm going to leave you with this. Mm-hmm. I look at time like she's 5'10", got beautiful hair that come all the way down her back, fine as wine, breath smell like the first day of a beautiful spring. When she bat her eyes, you think you done went into a trance. And when I turn over and look at her, I say, girl, what you need from me? You want some biscuits from scratch? And what I found is that if you mess with time, you messing with my woman. You hear me? And if I was everybody listening, yeah, one thing I would not do is I would not abuse time, because time abuse is self-abuse. I would leverage time. I would do anything I could to get me some time. Wealthy people, we always spending money to get more time. Poor people are always saving money to lose time. That's the major difference between the wealthy and the poor. And that's my answer to that question, my friend.
I appreciate you for coming on today, Rick, dropping all the gems and all the jewels. So you're going to be able to find Rick on his Instagram and YouTube platform all down here. So make sure you guys tune in and lock in, because he gives some great information daily, not just a one-time thing. He's coming with the content daily. So anything you want to say to your fans and supporters out here before you head out?
All I got to say, brother, it's been a plum pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. I love y'all. Ain't nothing y'all can do about that. And remember that Stellar is as Stellar does. Love you, Doc.
No, you too. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, my brother.